Hello, everyone. My name is Kayla.
And I'm Steph. And welcome to the Witch Story Podcast.
Witch Story Podcasts discuss real cases of witch trials, tales, and other stories related to witchcraft. As always, Steph and I are trying our best to shed light on the true histories of witches to the best of our abilities. For today's episode, we have researched the story of Alice Young. And her story is quite important because she is actually the first person to be hanged for witchcraft in America. I do want to make clear that Alice was not the first to be accused of witchcraft. There was a woman named Mary Johnson, and she was accused in 1646, also from Connecticut. And we find her information in detail from a book called Magnalia Christi Americana, written by, of course, by Cotton Mather's. And Johnson admitted to being a witch because of possibly uncleanliness with men. Anyways, under torture, she confessed, but the reason she was not hanged before Alice was that she was pregnant and she had to give birth to a child first.
Innocence cannot be killed.
Yes. But then she ended up being hung on, I believe, in 1650. So I couldn't start the story of Alice without reflecting on Mary because, you know, one was the first trial, that was Mary, and then Alice would have been the first hanged.
Yeah.
So now let's begin our story. We're going back in time to 1647, and this was the period of America before their independence when it was still known as the 13 colonies. And we have Alice Young, spelled A-L-S-E, living in what is now Windsor, Connecticut. So we are not in Salem, Massachusetts. And I only decided to make that clear because I feel like everyone thinks witch trials in Salem, but
those aren't the only ones that happened or people to have ever been accused of witchcraft. There were so many more in the colonies, as they would call them back then, or in America, even like looking forward past the state for sure.
Yeah. I know this is very odd to say, but Connecticut just gives me like the heebie-jeebies.
The heebie-jeebies. Jinx.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a random word. How did you know I was going to say that?
I don't know. I just think that we're constantly on the same wavelength.
Yeah. But maybe it's because of the haunting of Connecticut or something. I don't know. It's just...
Maybe. I'm going to be honest, though. Like, Connecticut kind of scares me just because, no offense, well, obviously this is going to be offensive because I said that, but most of the people who live there are like really wealthy white people that go to private schools and stuff like that. And like, when I think of Connecticut, I think of Gilmore Girls. And then I think of like the amount of people that piss me off from that show and they're smart talking and all that. Although I will say it's a great show, still like a favorite of mine, but there are a lot of moments where I get pissed off because it's just annoying. And you look at the town and it's very like small towny, and just a lot of like old Victorian town full of white people that like have so much wealth. It's ridiculous.
Before anyone gets offended, Steph lives in a community that's very similar.
I do. Actually, Gilmore Girls, would like the whole set was based off of the main street of the community that I live close to. How hilarious is that?
Yeah. So nobody can get offended for you saying
Exactly.
But as much as it does scare me, I would love to just like be there for Halloween or something because I feel like it's very eerie and that's where you would want to go to be spooked.
For sure. 100%. I would love to go there just to like take a look around and feel that awfulness again. For sure.
Yeah.
Halloween would be super cool, but most of all, I've always wanted to go to Salem in October just to experience it, as many people would.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
So I'll do a quick history about the area of Windsor. I always like giving a little history about the landscape before diving into the story. Windsor is not as I guess, well off as the rest of Connecticut, but it is only 10 minutes drive, so 8 miles upstream from the capital of Hartford. The town itself was named in 1637, 10 years before our trial takes place, so it is still a new settlement at this time. And it was named after the English borough of Windsor. It was one of the first settlements in modern Connecticut, and it was colonized by English Puritans. Then later, Connecticut itself became a state in 1788. Here, young Alice lived with her husband John and her daughter Alice Jr., in their home on Becker Row. It is also known that they owned a large plot of land by the river. And previously, there's not a lot of information on this family, so they might have just immigrated from England or New England. And 1647 was already a troubling time in history, and the area of Windsor was soon met with an influenza epidemic that swept through all of the communities of New England, and it caused mass deaths and fear. The rate of death was 4 times higher than normal, and this included the death of higher status people, including the minister's children. This did not go unnoticed. In a panic of what could have caused such a terrible plague, fingers were pointed at the only rational explanation of the time: witchcraft.
They needed a scapegoat. And what's interesting too is that, like, even the wealthier people in that area were also dying at rapid rates, which is rare. I guess that gives them more of a reason to have a scapegoat. It was because of that as well.
Exactly. So let's go into why Alice was the chosen scapegoat for the town. It's a pretty simple explanation, but we do have to dive into it. Alice lived on Becker Row with her husband and daughter, as I mentioned, and her neighbors had 4 children die in their house. And the town was curious as to why the illness hadn't touched Alice's family, but was killing most of the other families. So Alice was most likely accused of either using witchcraft to kill the other children and people, or using witchcraft to keep her own family safe. So unfortunately for Alice, as soon as the townspeople pointed a finger at her, there was no good outcome that could have possibly come out for her. She was either a witch or she was a witch, no matter what she pleaded.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah.
That, like, why?
Yeah.
She just has good genes, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly, it could have been so many things. It could have been good genes. It could have been that they kept more clean so that the plague wouldn't go through their house. We do know, as I said, that John had the plot of land. So if they had a farm there, they might have been eating better food than the other villagers. Like, we don't know, but it's not her fault that she was healthy, right?
Yeah.
All this information was brought to trial in the meeting house at Old Town Green, where Alice was found guilty and brought to the larger neighboring town of Hartford, an 8-mile journey along the river, to be punished. Upon arrival in Hartford, Alice would have been shackled and kept at the jail until she was hung at the gallows. The records of the trial would have been lost over time, but 2 journal entries do confirm Alice Young's execution by hanging on May 26 of 1647. And like I said, this was 45 years before the Salem trials. So in the diary entries, we have Governor John Winthrop's diary saying, "On this day, one of Windsor was hanged." And it was confirmed later by the diary of Matthew Grant, who was a town clerk of Windsor, saying Alice Young was hanged. And then it would have been May 26th, 1647 as well.
In Connecticut, witchcraft was one of 12 capital crimes issued by their colonial government in 1642. The law was set because the Puritan colonialists looked to the Bible for guidance. And in the Bible, there were verses such as Exodus 22:18, "Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live," and Leviticus 20:27, "A man also or woman that hath a familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death." And witchcraft remained a capital crime in Connecticut until the 18th century.
I don't care if it's unprofessional of me to say, but ew, I hate those Bible quotes so much. They're just so revolting.
So that line from the Bible was literally like the first line that came to my mind when I read this, when I started to like research this case. I'm like, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live.
It's so like old school and creepy. I don't like it. It is very
creepy.
And then, like, imagine poor Alice like all the way upstream in the river. So I watched this YouTube video. It's a short YouTube video on her trial. It doesn't really detail much because obviously there's not a lot of information, but it did mention, and it took the trip upstream and was like, imagine what Alice would have thought in her final hours as she went across the river knowing that her fate was to be death. And like all of that together, it's just so sad and so unfortunate. And I just, you just don't even understand how it feels, you know? Like I can't even comprehend how it would have been to know that you're about to die the whole journey.
It is very scary. Yeah, of course. I mean, expecting to die like all day long. Well, it's like King Henry VIII's wives or something like that, or Mary Queen of Scots. Like you're given a date of when you're supposed to die and you know full well that's the day you're going to die, and then you just have to sit there and wait for it. Like that's terrifying.
Yeah,
that's awful.
I guess even on death row today,
like, even on death row. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Although their dates get like pushed back or changed a lot now, so
mm-hmm.
I just know this because of all of the shows on Netflix. That's pretty much it. I have not same. Looked into sources for that, but I just know that they get changed around a lot.
Yeah. Which is good because sometimes when they get changed a second time, they're like, they were found to be innocent by the time, and yeah, those Netflix videos or whatever, they just, yeah, that's what's been getting me through the pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was Alice's story, but I do want to mention that in Connecticut, over 30 other men and women were accused of witchcraft in the later years and brought to trial, with 11 more individuals known to have been executed. And I do want to share some of their names now because I do think that nobody should be forgotten on account of witchcraft. So these names that I know for sure include Mary Sanford, John and Joan Carrington, Mary Barnes, Rebecca and Nathaniel Greensmith, Lydia Gilbert, and as mentioned before, Mary Johnson. And I do believe we should say what happened to Alice's family after this.
Oh boy.
Yep, let's start with her daughter, Alice Young Beeman. So Alice's daughter Alice married in 1654 to a man named Simon Beeman of Massachusetts. So you can find her in the records as Alice Young Beeman. And she does have descendants still alive today, so you can trace your lineage back to her if you are related to her. But she tragically suffered a similar fate when she was tried for witchcraft around 30 years later in Springfield, Massachusetts. But her son did stand up for her, and most people did believe that it was simply because she was related to her mother. So she wasn't hanged for her crimes of witchcraft. Not that she did anything wrong, but she was punished.
Basically, it was slander. And that's what her relation said, and that's who defended her. And they said, like, this is just slander because of her past kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, those bastards, which, by the way, bastards means a child born out of wedlock, which is what we overthought in the last podcast. And I would just like to
clear that up. Yeah.
Clear that up.
It was right after I published the episode. Yeah, it was right after I published the episode. Kitty was just like, bastard just means, you know, what it means.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, we all knew this.
We all knew that, but we drastically overthought it, so much so that I found the Latin word and just talked about the Latin word without even mentioning its meaning.
What does Connecticut mean?
I don't know. Connecticut. I thought it might have been an indigenous name, like originally.
I'm totally messing with you. Don't look it up.
I was right, though. I was right.
That it wasn't indigenous.
Yeah, the Connecticut. The name Connecticut is derived from the Mohegan Pequot word that has been translated as long tidal river, and upon the long river, referring to the Connecticut River.
I'm going to add that in. I think that's interesting.
It is interesting. Yeah.
And sorry, as for Alice's husband, there's not a lot written about John Young after this. We do know that he sold his land in Windsor in 1649, as we can see on the land records, and then he moved to Stratford, Connecticut. But after months of illness, he was buried on April 8th in 1661. He had no will and no heirs claimed his estate, so unfortunately he might have just lived a lonely life after this. And we know his death because on his gravestone it says that he departed this life on April 7th, 1661.
I want my obituary to say the same thing. She departed from this life on this date. I think that sounds so nice.
1661.
Not on that specific date. Obviously, I can't go back in time. Like, I'm good right here.
And that is all we know about Alice Young. Short story, but much needed.
Alice was formally exonerated on February 6, 2017, about time, after getting support from local historian Beth Caruso. Beth Caruso also wrote a book on her called One of Windsor, The Untold Story of America's First Witch Hanging.
Yeah.
Thank you, Beth Caruso.
Thank you, Beth. You go, girl. We needed somebody to share this story of Alice.
Yeah.
I feel like this one is like super important just because it is the first hanging of a witch in the colonies before the Salem witch trials too. So
it's unfortunate that we don't have a lot of writing about this, because around the same time in, like, let's say Germany, if you look at a case in Germany around the same time, I think we've even covered some, it's so, so meticulously detailed.
Yeah.
But I don't know if people could really write in America around it's this true. Time.
I'm just talking more so like the general population. Like, I do know that people in powerful roles or the really wealthy obviously could read and write, as we have those diary entries. But for the general population.
Well, I guess like the people that were sent to America were, like, most of them committed crimes, which means that they came from low income most of the time. So they definitely didn't get education.
You can even see on, like, the diary entry, we actually posted a picture on our Instagram, but in the diary entry you can see that even the handwriting is not all that neat. It looks
like me when I write, except I do have an education, but my writing just sucks because
it's very messy.
I guess now we spend most of our time typing, so writing becomes foreign to our hands. And the only way I do write like the best is actually in cursive, but people also say that my cursive sucks too and they can't read it.
So, I heard cursive is gonna not be taught anymore in
it's
some
not
schools. Oh,
yeah,
it isn't.
It's not. Yeah, that's what I've heard and like seen. Like, children are starting to get lessons in typing earlier on. Like, I remember getting typing classes when I was in grade 3. But like, I know that they're learning a lot longer span of time.
Oh, like longer time period in the classroom?
Oh yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, I think they're spending a longer amount of time learning how to type rather than writing cursive at all. So yeah.
Okay, we did it.
We did it. Thank you for listening to this week's podcast, and we hope you loved the show so far.
Yes, thank you. I do want to mention one more time quickly before we wrap up, Beth Caruso's source, her book that she wrote on Alice Young, is called One of Windsor, The Untold Story of America's First Witch Hanging. So if you want any more information, she goes way deeper into this topic, and she spent countless years researching it. So check her book out. We are not sponsored in any way by her. I just think it's amazing what she has done. And if you want to do any research yourself on Alice Young, her name is spelled two ways if you want to Google her, A-L-S-E or Alice, A-L-I-C-E Young. With that, just a huge thank you again to everyone for listening to Witch Story Podcast. Please don't forget to rate and subscribe to us if you enjoy. And if you'd like to send us a message, feel free to email us at witchstorypodcast@gmail.com and follow us on our social media accounts at @witchstorypod. We're on Instagram and Twitter at the moment. We hope that you tune back again next week for another episode. Bye, everyone.